Although it may be pretty easy to say that a given musician belongs to one race or another, it's not so easy to say that about the music he or she might play. In the second part of a two-part series, Ed Ward shows how radio furthered a musical mix that gave birth to some of the most popular music of the post-war era.
Lee Ford Bailey, and it'll be his famous Fox Chase. All right, Lee Ford.
Yeah. Hey, catch it.
For many years, the first sounds a listener tuning into the Grand Ole Opry heard were the voice of George Hay, the announcer, and the music of DeFord Bailey, a black harmonica player. The Opry was a phenomenon. Each week it broadcast on a clear channel radio station that could be heard all over the South and drew innumerable listeners to its patented mix of country music and corny humor. Which explains this.
That runs away from me, dreams that just won't let me be, blues that keeps on bothering me, chains that just won't set me free, too far.
And this.
Your cheating whore will make you weep. You cry and cry and try to sleep, but sleep won't come.
And this.
Want your baby from time to time, but you just won't listen. Now pay me no mind, so I'm moving on. Daddy ain't coming back, cause I'm moving on.
Keep moving on.
I'm rolling on.
Roll on, roll on.
You're flying too high for my little sky, so I'm moving on.
Moving on.
Someday, baby.
At first, it seems paradoxical that Solomon Burke, Fats Domino, and Ray Charles would be singing songs recorded by Farron Young, Hank Williams, and Hank Snow. But the Opry is the explanation. The radio was the first mass entertainment medium, and at first it featured nothing but live musicians. Even when radio started playing records, hillbilly and black music weren't part of the mix, and there was no black equivalent to the Opry. But the radio was free. All over the South, neighbors gathered to enjoy the weekly Opry broadcasts, and some of them were black. The fact that there was no black Opry meant that white fans of rural black music had a much harder time finding what they were interested in. Few blues fans dared the Southside clubs in Chicago, where Muddy Waters held forth, or the strip of clubs on Memphis's Beale Street. Some, of course, did.
Well, that's all right, Mama. That's all right for you. That's all right, Mama. Just any way you do, that's all right. That's all right. That's all right, Mama. Any way you do. Well, Mama, she done told.
In the South, they were called cats, people like Elvis Presley and his friends, whose enthusiasm and respect earned them entree to the Beale Street scene. In the North, they were the kids who listened to Alan Freed's pioneering rhythm and blues show in Cleveland and went to his mixed dances. But as rock and roll gathered momentum, so did the American folk revival with its blinkered sense of the black tradition, which denied that Chuck Berry, for instance, was a blues artist. It took the Rolling Stones and their heirs to remind Americans that Chicago blues existed. And by then, it was almost too late. It was in Memphis that another cross-pollination began to happen 5 years after Elvis burst on the scene. Stax Records was run by a former country fiddle champion, Jim Stewart, and his sister, Estelle Axton. And at the heart of the label's inimitable sound was the house band, Booker T and the MGs, two white guys and two black guys who made impeccable soul music, a genre the label virtually invented. In fact, soul, for all that it symbolized black pride in its heyday in the 1960s, was, at least in the studio, a completely integrated music. The singers may have been black, but at least in the South, the bands weren't.
Change, change, change.
Change, change.
Aretha Franklin's Chain of Fools is a perfect example. The songwriter was black, one of the guitarists, Joe South, was white, the piano player was too, and even one of the backup vocalists was Ellie Greenwich, a nice Jewish girl from the Brill Building. And that piano player, Spooner Oldham, wrote songs with another white guy, Dan Penn, that are among the most soulful ever.
At the dark end of the street, that's where we always meet, hiding in shadow where we don't belong, living in darkness to hide our wrong. You and me had the dark end of the street.
But Charlie Pride notwithstanding, country music didn't really return the favor, and by the early 1970s, the music world was segregating again. It would take at least another decade before rap began to draw the strands together for yet another fusion.
Ed Ward currently lives in Berlin.